Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm so excited about our show today. I've got a great guest in store for you, Jessie Harris Boughton. She's a wife and a mom of five, a certified life and business growth strategist, author, speaker, podcaster, and former 300-mile-per-hour professional race car driver. She helps purpose-driven moms in business ditch the hustle and grind and dramatically increase their income and impact without increasing their to-do list. It's my pleasure to welcome Jessie to our show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Belinda.
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited to dive into this. Race car driving is just exciting. It is for me, and I know it's not for a lot of women. They probably could care less about it. So I'm super excited to have this discussion with you today. So why don't you just dive in and like kind of fill us in on some of this bio and then kind of tell us about the journey and where you're at today with your business?
Yeah, no problem, because you did do a great job in kind of giving like the overall cap, right? And maybe what I will tell you from the very first start is that I've realized now, all these years later, that everything I've ever kind of dabbled my hands in has always been because I was so passionate with purpose. And so, you know, as you hear now that I am a certified life and business growth strategist, plain and simple, it's because it was something that I struggled with at some point. And I will actually tell you, at the point when I was trying to grow my business online, even though I already had a very successful 7-figure brick and mortar physical therapy clinic in my hometown, I struggled and I cried more tears raising my businesses than my babies. And so I became very passionate about helping women learn how to grow their life of freedom while growing their business and not feeling like any sacrifices or compromises had to be made, right? And so I tell you that up front only because if we stem all the way back to what I guess we could say is probably the best beginning, is that at 11 years old, I lost my dad unexpectedly. He passed away from a heart attack. And it just kind of spiraled, you know, real life into out of control, I guess I should say. I didn't understand at that point how much pain was a part of life. You know, you might see your parents go through things, losing a parent or whatever, but it's still something a whole nother level hard is the only thing I can explain it at that age. I just didn't understand why, you know, my dad was taken away from me. And so I kind of became very quiet. I was very outgoing little girl. And then I became very quiet and very unsure of myself and obviously had some feelings of abandonment and subconsciously, but it caused me to never really take control of anything that I wanted. I was always interested in, you know, things in school and sports, et cetera, but I didn't excel. And it was because I always reserved myself. And so luckily, I'm a stubborn little thing. And as I grew older, I decided that, you know, I wasn't living a very happy life. And mind you, this sounds like as I grew older, I'm really talking about after graduating high school at 17, that I wish I could have gone back. I had a lot of regrets, more or less. I would have done things differently. And so I decided to just do something very different, very out of the box for me. And that was pursue a race car driving career because growing up, you know, they would always ask you, what do you want to be? And I would say, I want to be a race car driver and a mom. And for me, I loved racing. My stepdad, who my mother got remarried to, did it as a hobby. And it was a lot of fun to watch and experience, but I didn't want to spend $1,000 a weekend to go and just have some fun. I wanted to get paid. And I wanted to ultimately have a platform where I could inspire other people because this is kind of how we realize I wanted to teach kids to stand up for their dreams and so on. So we go on a 5-year journey of traveling the Northeast, meeting a bunch of different people, shaking hands, et cetera, trying to get that one opportunity to drive a race car. And of course, I got 1,000 no's. But I did finally get one yes because I didn't give up. And it wasn't the yes that I wanted, but My mother once told me, you know, when you get offered the seat on a rocket ship, you don't ask what seat, sister, you just get on. And so that was kind of what I told myself in that moment. And, you know, super fast forward here, 5 years later, I actually retired from driving that 300 mile per hour race car for the same team I got hired for initially as the world's winningest driver in both the male and female categories, which at the time I was the only female actually traveling the country driving these types of cars. And we're talking, it was a few years ago, 2003 is when I started. So, you know, it looks a little different. It's not completely different, but it's definitely still a male dominated sport. But back then I was the only female out there. And it was amazing. Again, I loved the driving of the car, but for me, it was, you know, going to speak in front of fan groups as large as 40,000, trying to use that platform to inspire them to take control. And man, I feel like I'm talking a lot, Belinda, here, but
no, go ahead. I'm looking for the right place to interject, but you're doing such an awesome job. Just keep going.
I appreciate it. Well, I will tap in for a moment into kind of what I believe allowed me to have such a whirlwind career and become a world champion and retire as the winningest driver. I actually now, 15 years later, still hold that title just because nobody else has ever had that many wins. I won over 650 races in those years and only lost one. Yeah. And I'm not saying it to toot my own horn. I am getting to a point here, but it really is that thing that sometimes I forget is quite amazing. That's quite a feat. But I early on kind of started to fall into my own doubt. Actually, at the very first event I ever went to, none of the other drivers at the team meeting would shake my hand. And of course, I mean, I was very just 21 years old. I went around the corner behind my race car trailer and started crying like a little girl. And, you know, my boss came over to me, and at the time I didn't appreciate the way he spoke to me, but looking back, it was a pivotal moment for me, and definitely a defining moment that set me on a new path for the rest of my life. He said, "Jesse, you've only got two things that you have control over in life, and that is your belief and your action. And first and foremost, the reason they're treating you that way is because they're scared of you. You know, they're worried that you're actually going to come here and show them up. You know, these are 20-year veterans, et cetera. And they're nervous because you've done some amazing things already just in training. And number two, he said, you have the opportunity to win this race, but the only way you're going to win it is if you believe you're going to win it. And then you show up with the action to prove it. And I had been training for 4 months previous to that. And, you know, he would always tell me, there's nobody in the other lane. This was the quarter mile drag strip. So you would run two cars against one another. And my boss would say, there's nobody in the other lane. This is just a race between you and yourself every day. Round robin for 4 months, right? So that ultimately I would have really good reaction times, et cetera. Because these cars would go 0 to 300 in less than 5 seconds. So it was 5G forces off the start line. You would use two huge parachutes to slow you down because you don't use brakes at 300 miles an hour. I mean, it was like a video game. That's the best way I can relate to it. Tons of different hand controls, et cetera. The car would shoot flames 40 feet out the back.
Wow.
Yeah. It was an impressive car. Actually, if you turned the wings on this race car, there were small little wings on the side, both in the front and the back. If you turned them upside down, the car would actually take off. It was the same, engine as in an FI fighter airplane. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, very different, right? It's not something that is common or that people think of when they think of race car. So, you know, my boss just said to me, you got to think of this as like every other day. Yes, there's somebody in the other lane this time, but you're not racing against him. You're racing against yourself. So do your best to leave that start line first and to make all your shifts, et cetera, and get to that finish line as quick as possible. If you do that, you've got the best chance ever of winning. And so I went on to win that race and many, many more, as I said, but that was where I actually embraced what I now call the rush rule. And it's what I've applied to everything I've had success in my life. And so RUSH is an acronym I made up when I wrote my first book called The RUSH Revolution, Revving Up Self-Happiness Through the Power of Intentional Living. And that is 100% belief plus 100% action minus giving in excuse me, mine is giving up. I need a cup of coffee here, Belinda. but when you put all of that together, you will most likely have success. But if not, at the very least, if you miss the mark, you're still going to have no regrets. And that was all I ever wanted in life, was to show up with everything I had, even if I missed the mark, knowing I left nothing on the table and had no regrets. So that's kind of where all of this starts, and what has, you know, then evolved throughout my adult career.
Wow. Say the revving up, say that acronym, or say that, what that little sentence that you said there.
It's revving up self-happiness is the acronym for RUSH.
Okay.
And the back half of that tagline for my book was revving up self-happiness through the power of intentional living.
Okay. And people can still find your book?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. Absolutely. Just
put
in my name or the full Jesse Harris Boughton, revving up self-happiness. It'll pop right up.
I love that. And I really am been teaching a lot right now. It's the end of the year, and getting everybody to focus on their one word for January or for 2021. And so I have really gone back to really teaching a lot, like in the last 3 months, my whole big thing is how are you being intentional? And that's going to be my word again. I've had that word before, but it's just how it's really resonating with me in 2021. And so that really grabbed my attention. I like to read different perspectives on it and what other people have to say, because I really think at the end of the day, that is really sort of where it all happens, is how intentional are you being? You know, what action steps are you taking to get where you really want to be? So I love that.
Amen. I agree with you. I'm very much somebody who just kind of holds that at the core of everything that I do. And it's, for me, it's always been because I used to rely on other people thinking that they would help me get to where I wanted, right? But that's, I mean, first of all, we don't enjoy it then if we do get it handed to us. But second of all, it's like, again, the one thing that I feel like keeps me sane, if I'm just doing the best I can with where I am and what I have, then at the very least, I'll feel fulfilled, right? And have some sort of happiness or joy, because that is the only true thing that we have control over. So I get that. I love that. That's why I'm attracted to you, Belinda, because you very much speak and think like I do.
That's awesome. I want to go talk about two things in there that you said that I just thought was really awesome. And so I just want to kind of touch on that. First of all, the one thing is that had to be challenging in a male-dominated career. I mean, you have to have stories upon stories upon stories. How did you handle that when I'm sure men weren't taking you serious? And then when you were being, you know, serious, like winning all of these races, then what was the reaction?
Yeah, it's such a great question, because the truth is it took me probably a good year to earn some respect. And it's respect, I mean, to the point where then they would at least shake my hand and, you know, show me that, you know, I belong to be out there. But over time, by the time I retired, honestly, it was probably a good 3 years, but a lot of us became really, really good friends. And several of them got to the point where they actually, you know, owned up to the fact that they treated me like crap, and they were, you know, embarrassed by it, because, you know, I had so many engine failures and parachute failures and other people crossing into, you know, my lane while we're going 300 miles an hour down the racetrack. And there were many, many times where the, you know, opponents would come over to me and they're like, you know, I don't know how you're still alive and you kept that car straight. And I know that it all fell back to I just was 100% in. I wasn't thinking about my boyfriend that broke up with me the night before, right? I had a job to do, and I actually call it getting into Rush State. I would get into that car and I would be in Rush State, right? Again, with that acronym. But it's like, if you are going to, you know, become a world champion, then the only way you're going to do that is acting as a world champion does before you become him or her. And so they recognize that, like, nothing got in my way. And I was always showing them respect, because that's how I was brought up. My mom and dad taught me, even if somebody treated you wrong, you never stoop to their level, you show respect, etc. And so if they wouldn't shake my hand for the first year, I still always tried to for them. And so that really got us to a point where over time we became good friends, most of us. But I will say, interestingly enough, when I retired from that car, I was moving into another level. It was another 300-mile-an-hour race car, different engines. And it was a bit more televised. So what I did was on national television, on ESPN, et cetera, but only for certain events. And I was going to move up to the top, right? The very top echelon, et cetera. And it started all over again. It was awful. They, you know, you're only here because you are a girl and, you know, nobody, you know, in that smaller, you know, big fish in the little pond sort of thing. And I mean, I hate to just, you know, bring that up because I don't like when people just share all the negative, sad sob stories, but I'm so thankful for them because that is why I am who I am today. And that to me, I have no choice but to view it as a gift, right? I always say you have to own your past to own your future if you're ever going to own your present. And so I'm thankful for all of that.
Very good. Okay. So you talked about your online business and that being, like you cried more tears over that than with your babies.
It's and true. Like you said, I'm a mom of five over here right now. Like right. Crazy.
I bet. And I have to say, switching from doing business in a traditional way to doing it online has not really been easy for me either. And yet some people would look at my business and go, wow, you're way more successful. And I think there's a couple of things in there is one, how do you measure that success? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's hard and I feel like it's ever changing. And I feel like it's hard to find people to trust that know really what they're doing. You know, like I've had to go through many, many people saying, oh, I can help you do this. I can do all of this. And yet I find out that wasn't even the right way to do it. I just have found that to be hard. And I'm glad that you said that because there's so many people right now from the outside looking in that say, oh, and they hear these stories. I was broke and didn't have a job. And then I started my online business and now I'm making seven figures. Right. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of people out there that hear that and see that. And then they go to try to do it and it doesn't happen overnight. And then they feel like a failure or they're very frustrated. And I'm glad that you said that. But do you want to just share a little bit more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the reasons why I am so transparent. I'm the person who shows up online and talks about the years that I spun my wheels when I did shift and transition, right? So, oh my gosh, I have a few different things to say. So number one, again, this has only been more of, I want to say like a recent realization for me. It actually took me a long time because when I first shifted from the brick and mortar into online as well, I forgot to lean into what helped me build a seven-figure brick and mortar business, which it was word of mouth marketing for me. Okay. What helped us so much? I mean, my husband's owned the business for 19 years. I've been with him for 18 and been a part of it. We've never paid for ads. So, and we have a seven-figure brick and mortar physical therapy clinic that employs 15 people. I'm proud of that. But I say that because what we found is if we just showed up and gave everything to our clients, that they would tell anybody and everybody about us. And so that's how we grew so quickly. And when I got online, I thought I had to play the game of exactly what you said, what everybody was promoting. You got to do this to market and this to sell and blah, 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 blah. And I tried that route for 2 years, barely making anything, definitely spending more than I made, spinning my wheels, trying to enroll people into group coaching programs to get none or one. And then when I did finally get one, maybe I lost a client and maybe it wasn't on me, but it just is the way it worked out, right? And that's why I'm so transparent now. And I talk about all of those years I struggled. And I talk about how I have lost clients. Everybody lose clients, right? In the coaching industry. And just like you lose customers as you know, a product or whatever base business. But people don't talk about it for fear that then it will make them look, you know, not good enough. And I'm just not that person because I have fallen into comparisonitis so much that it almost killed me and my dreams. And so, you know, you're hearing all of these really wonderful, beautiful things, but what you don't know is in between here, I fell into a great depression, one where I was wondering why I was on this earth. I had a good life, but for whatever reason, I was just stuck on not feeling good enough and not fulfilled, etc. And a lot of it was because of comparison. And that is the hard world of online. I actually just wrote a post and recorded a podcast episode, which at the time of this recording, it hasn't even gone out yet because I batch a lot, which I know you do as well, Belinda. the power of batching in the online world. But the point but the conversation that I started having in this post and in this podcast is how cool it is when your real life starts to match your social media life. And it's so natural that we kind of just share the highlight reel, right? The R-E-E-L, which was never my intention, but I'm so hyper aware of things, which is why now I've started to share a lot more of the highlight reel, R-E-L-L, which is when, you know, I don't have the launch that I want. And when I actually this year, amidst all of the chaos in my life with having a brand new baby all in the same year of this 2020, right? And then COVID and homeschooling four of my five kids and a major cancer diagnosis and journey with my husband to now doing my own homeschooling curriculum, et cetera. I almost walked away from my coaching business. And that sounds insane because I've built something amazing, but it was taking away from what I needed to show up with that 100% belief and effort, right? Which right now is our brick and mortar physical therapy clinic. And it is my husband's cancer journey. And it is my homeschooling my kids. I mean, I have like 4 part-time jobs right now. And my coaching business was still, I was doing a lot of one-on-one coaching because I love it. So I actually teach women now how to build a automated business. So to package your genius up in a course and then automate the marketing and then stay in their zone of genius and just share. And of course, there's a whole bunch more to it. But I wasn't leaning into that entirely myself. I have a lot of passive income, but I was still relying heavily on one-on-one coaching and offering to do trainings for other people, et cetera. And it was taking about 20 hours of time each week from me. And that was just too much for me to show up as the wife and the mom that I needed to be, right? And so that's a super long story. Well, I was going to say it's long story short. It's not. It's a short story long way to explain to you that for me, it was just this rude awakening of, I think that if I would just tap back into giving everything that I can to the people that I do have as clients, even if it's just one, that will benefit me. And so that's what I did a few years back. I had a whole kitchen floor crying episode where I was not happy and I was making money, but certainly not enough for the amount of effort I was putting in. And my husband and I had a heart to heart and he's like, babe, this just isn't going to work anymore. And I'm like, I know, but my business is my baby and so on. And that was when I tapped into number one, giving everything, stop playing the marketing game, right? But just giving everything I could to my existing clients and allowing them to bring more people in for me naturally. And then number two, to not being afraid to showcase the highlight reel, again, that R-E-A-L, because that's what makes my clients connect with me so much. And of course, then the fact that I teach them how to package their genius in a course and automate it, right? So that they can do more of what they love instead of trying to play that game is huge. But yeah, it's another world. And I'm seeing more of people talking about keeping it real. But again, a lot of it seems more of talk versus the walk.
That's what I'm finding is where's the action steps in this? And people can talk in circles about, and I believe all these things. Like I'm a huge person about belief and about setting goals and imagining it before it even happens and, you know, all of those things and gratitude. I mean, my goodness, all those things are such key, but I just hear a lot of that, but then I don't hear a lot of, okay, and then now you've got that. Here's your action steps. And that's what I just see missing a lot. And there's another interesting thing that you said that is, it's really been on my mind a lot. So I've been in business. I've owned my own business now for over 25 years, and it's been successful, and it certainly has morphed and changed throughout that 25 years. But even prior to that, I was in sales for 16 years. So I've been working for myself, you know, for a long, long time. And, you know, the old adage was fake it till you make it. You know what I mean? And then, but then you said it in the way of, believe that you already are that. You believe you already are a champion. You know what I mean? And that's kind of that same sort of philosophy, just worded slightly different.
Yes.
And I think that it's because it's worded differently, it's more accepted, because the old fake it till you make it. But what that meant was, you know, you have to go out there and you have to believe that you are going to be this. You have to act the role, and then the role will evolve for you. You know, you attract the people of the way that you behave to you. And yet today, I keep hearing this, oh, you have to be authentic and you have to be transparent and you have to be real, which I totally believe too. Like, I totally believe that too. And so then I've got all these coaches and people out there saying, you know, the old fake it till you make it, that is ridiculous. But I don't believe it's ridiculous. And I do believe you can be authentic and be real and still see yourself as the winner as it's already happened. So you obviously spoke to both of those things. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm hearing this a lot.
Yeah. I'm over here like a little schoolgirl ready to like dive into this one, because you and I are on the same page so very much. So I actually agree with you. Like, it's people misperceive the fake it till you make it. So the way when it was originated, which who knows where that came from, right? But it was originated in meaning, as you said, to actually show up and do the work, right? And then you will make it because you will, et cetera. Okay, I'm going to stop there because this is how I say it. There's two things I want to touch on. And I wrote them down so I didn't have mom brain this time. the first is, I don't say fake it till you make it. My girls right. know inside, I host a business building membership called the Millionaire Mompreneur Accelerator. And there's two things that I share with them. Number one, we say show up and blow up. So as we talked about earlier, right? Revving up self-happiness, the rush rule, 100% belief, 100% action, not giving up, et cetera. We also then say getting into rush state, which is a whole exercise for another day where we really kind of take control of our physiology and our mentality, et cetera, and get into a place where we know we are meant to be doing what we're doing. But see, this is where people get confused, because everybody talks about manifestation in a woo-woo way. And I first started looking into manifestation because I believed it. I read the book. I watched the friggin' Netflix movie a few years ago, all the things. I too was like, I'm so stumped because this doesn't work for me. This is not, there's something missing. And I learned very quickly that although they're like subconsciously saying it, what's missing is that you need to act, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I say show up till you blow up, because I'm actually showing up with that 100% belief and effort every single day for what I want. And so that means I better at the end of the day, go to bed feeling fulfilled, even if I didn't hit my goal, because I knew I did my best today. That's what we call show up till you blow up, or what the origination of fake it till you make it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so let's take that a step further though, because I agree with you. People will talk about that fake it till you make it. And I'll even say show up till you blow up. And you're like, okay, but how, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where rush state comes in, where it's really figuring out who you need to be. Because interestingly enough, when you start to act as you believe a millionaire mompreneur does, that's my brand, right? Or whatever it is you're chasing down, you will have the how elusively start to reveal itself one step at a time. And that's something that I have finally really embraced and not been afraid to teach people. So of course, I give tons of branding, marketing, and sales strategy. I'm all about giving step-by-step formulas, et cetera, to actually take action on. But I am also teaching people that they might find that something needs to bend or mold or tweak for them. And as they show up, they will then learn what it is that will help them move forward and blow up in the way that they are meant to be, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, if we're talking about marketing, so this is kind of like a little pivot, but it goes hand in hand, because when we're talking about marketing, so many people want to do all the things, because we do get caught up in watching what everybody else is doing, and they have, you know, different courses and different products, et cetera. And they've got a coaching thing and a speaking gig, and they're an author. I mean, you look at my titles alone, right? You're like, oh my gosh, she does all these things. But here's the thing. I didn't always do all those things. And so at the core of what I teach in my branding, marketing, and sales signature course and program is what I call the one thing formula. And that's where you need to show up in business first, only speaking to one dream client with one core product, delivering one core result or solution, because people don't buy products, right? People buy what's on the other side of your product, and doing it with one marketing plan. And what I mean is just one conversion tool or lead magnet, whatever you want to call it, on one social platform for a year. That is like so much value that I give away to everybody for free upfront. And obviously, then you can understand that a lot of people want, okay, give me more step by step, you know, on the branding, marketing, sales side, no problem. How do I set it up? No problem. That's what I teach you. But if you just move forward with that alone, I guarantee you, you will have massive success. Again, if you go all in following that show up, blow up method or that rush rule formula that we talked about.
So we've got one thing with one client,
yep,
with one product in one, what was your last one?
One marketing plan. So one conversion tool or lead magnet on one social platform. Because again, we're watching everybody else on YouTube and LinkedIn and Pinterest, etc. No, go all in on one. And it's funny, I actually still follow what I teach with the one thing formula, although I have several different offers. Publicly, you only see me ever offering my signature course and program, the Millionaire Mompreneur Accelerator.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
That is really super great advice. I love that. Okay. So we've already kind of covered this. However, it's our signature question of the show, and I just feel like I have to ask it. And let's just explore where that takes us. And that is, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Yeah, we kind of did touch the surface on this, right? A little bit. But the truth is I actually am also someone who has more recently in my life embraced a relationship with God. So even though, yeah, we talked a lot about the rush rule, and for me, that really helps me feel joy and fulfillment, even if I don't, you know, achieve the goal, right? But it's also for me, understanding that God's got my back through this and he's going to continue to help show me the way, whether it's in my business, in my life, in my, you know, health, my marriage, my motherhood, whatever it is. That's been a huge, huge thing for me. I'm sitting in a lot of uncertainty right now and in a lot of fear with stuff that is going on, a complete pivot in my business. So what I didn't share with you earlier is that although I'm, you know, still massively growing my business with passive income, I had to walk away from a lot of other large, large income producing streams that I, by choice. But so technically this year will be the least I've ever made in my coaching business. And that's a bit scary as COVID is also hurting my brick and mortar, right? And I'm walking into, I mean, I'm just going to be honest, we're walking into $100,000 and more clinical trials for my husband's cancer journey. And at diagnosis, they told us 2 to 5 years. And I have 5 babies. One is 11 months old. You know, I mean, I'm definitely sitting in a lot of stuff right now. But for me to continue to show up, you know, working from my happy place and being in my happy place, it's going all in with that rush rule and believing that I am a child of God and that no matter what, with him, I will get through.
That's amazing. I'm sure that in that, and I'd love to just hear your take on this a little bit, because a lot of people would say, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do that. Or that would just be too hard. Or I would just have to, I mean, people really struggle when life throws them a major curveball, and you are dealing with a major, major curveball in your life right now. And that, but I usually try to help guide people through learning to compartmentalize. And are you doing that? Is that how you're still managing your business, managing the kids and everything that they've got going on? And even in time batching life, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, I can sit down and be quiet and be sad right now or pray right now, or but right now I've got to take care of this and it's got to get my 100%. How do you compartmentalize? How do you sort of differentiate those things in order to get through what you're going through?
Yeah, I think I've got three points to make. So number one, something that I say and believe in 100% is that systems simplify processes, and processes are the pathway to power. So for me is being someone who actually loved to wing it most of her life. That just won't cut it right now with the amount of stuff that I have on my plate. So I have no choice but to take control and plan almost everything and schedule it out, right? Follow a system. Mm-hmm. I joke, I have a system for paying my bills. I have a system for working out. I have a system for having a conversation with my husband. I have a system for everything. And it actually makes me crazy. I hate having to live that rigid, but if I don't, I fall victim to the craziness just so quick. And we know that I, by default, have a depression problem. And so it's important for me to recognize to be proactive versus reactive. My family needs that from me right now more than anything. And so do my clients and, you know, myself, et cetera. But from there, I also used to push the pain away from whatever it was I was going through. You know, I mean, I denied the loss of my, I didn't cry any tears for years losing my father. And of course I was devastated, but my mom was so upset. And the minute she started crying, telling me, I knew I had to take care of her. I was an only child, et cetera. Right? And so I always put off pain. If there was, I was ready to have my first baby and it was happening naturally, which wasn't exactly the plan. And he was 9.5 pounds and he was stuck for 2 hours there. And I was like, I'm done. I don't care. I'm done. I quit. Like by default, I am the person that just doesn't want pain, whether it be emotional or physical. And so now it's kind of like weird. Some people are like, no, you're crazy. But I like to feel the pain. The pain is what I take and turn into fuel to then pursue something forward. And more than that, the pain is what I have ultimately my whole life turned into purpose. A lot of it has been a blessing that it's been a profitable purpose, right? Which so many, I actually help a lot of women that will come to me to help them grow their business. And I end up helping them realize that they're in the wrong business. And it just happens naturally because I think entrepreneurship is like the new American dream. And so they jump into this network marketing company or this or that. It happens so easily. And when we kind of get to the core of what it is they're really passionate about, a lot of them are willing to just completely switch. And I feel so blessed because it's what I teach, profitable purpose. I only really work with purpose-driven entrepreneurs. They are naturally attracted to me. And so I know as I'm sitting here and all of these things, like, there's got to be a reason that I am looking at the possibility of raising my children alone. You know, I mean, of course, I want to believe 100% that he's going to be here 20, 30, 40 more years with me. But the truth is I don't know that. And I'm also not going to be, you know, negligent to the fact that that could be my reality. And so I'm allowing myself to feel that pain and then say, okay, how can I take this and grow from it and hopefully, you know, help other people. And I just believe that there's got to be some sort of message in there that I am meant to share with the world, whether he's here with me or not. And I pray he's here with me. But yeah, I really feel like we are able to take all of those things that happen to us and see them as happening for us, right? There's always an opportunity in every problem if you're willing to look for it.
Absolutely. So in closing, last words of advice, and then of course, how can our listeners find you?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So my last words of advice will just be, because this is the question I get all the time, is what's the shortcut to success? And I actually laugh because as that former professional race car driver, I was always looking for the shortcut at everything, right? I wanted to get there in 5 seconds, zero to finish in 5 seconds and be done,
right?
Even in child labor and all the things, right? And what I've learned is that the shortcut to all success is actually just showing up and doing the work. And that is what completely got me on the fast track to the success and millionaire mompreneur status was when I finally stopped trying to look for the other shortcut, the easier way, the get rich quick scheme, et cetera. And I just was willing to do the hard work, right? Show up, blow up again. And I'm Jessie Harris Boughton on Instagram. That's the best place to find me. You can also go to my website, Jessie Harris Boughton or Millionaire Mompreneur. I have a podcast, Millionaire Mompreneur Project. And say hello. I mean, if you DM me, I will probably either voice message you back or video message you. That's just who I am.
Well, perfect. And thank you so much for sharing your story and your insights and wisdom and just what you're going through right now. I appreciate you so much for doing that at this just time with what you're facing and showing up for our audience today and at this time of the year. So thank you so much.
Oh, Belinda, thank you for having me. And thank you for doing what you guys are doing here with this show. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Because sometimes when you're here all by yourself, you're like, do people really listen? Do they really appreciate it? And then you get somebody that says, your show has meant so much to me and it really helped me do this. And I had one lady said, I would listen to, I just binged listen to your show. And one day I was listening to it and I pulled over at the side of the road and just cried and cried and cried. And then I just made a decision right then what I was going to do and change my career. And I did. She sent me all of this in an email one night and I got it at 10:30 at night. And I just called her. I said, is it too late to call you? And then she said, no. And then I had her on the show to talk about that whole year journey from the first minute of listening to the show to changing her career to then the career was already going successful. And it was just really rewarding. And I have to stop and pause and remember those things too, because it's sometimes lonely being the entrepreneur all by yourself.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Trying to figure it all out. So I appreciate you saying that and being yourself. And I just appreciate you sharing that whole journey with losing your dad and then what your reactions to that were. I think a lot of people kind of don't deal with that and then they don't really identify it exactly. But I love it that you were a female in a male-dominated career driving race cars. I can't even tell you. I just say that is so awesome because throughout my whole career and growing up as a young girl and like I had to fight to be a paper girl. You know, yes. They only had paper boys and I had to get a petition and let my neighbors sign it that like, yes, they would accept a paper girl. Like, are you kidding? But when I think back on that, how ridiculous. And yet that was really my first real sales job. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I loved that job, but it's been like that throughout my career. I was a drummer and there weren't a lot of female drummers at that time, you know, when I was out there really trying to make it happen and in the music world and people just kind of poo-pooed you. And so I really applaud you in that because I know that that was not easy. And I am sure that that resilience has carried you forward into what you're doing today. So congratulations on that.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. We could just fluff each other's feathers here all day, couldn't we?
I know.
But it's because we understand. You know, it's because we do truly understand. And it's such a beautiful gift to be able to, you know, network and collaborate like this. And that's one of the things, like, I don't know, I'm going to say it, even if you do keep this into the show, but you know, this is one of the most beautiful parts of entrepreneurship as well, is be able to lift one another up. And again, not expecting anything in return. You know, but yet here I am. I'm the person who always gets off any show and say, you know, let me know how I can lift you up at any time. Now we're connected. You just reach out, right? So it's beautiful. I just love all of the kindness that you're sharing in return, but you don't always see this. I've been on lots of shows and I've hosted lots of people on mine as well. And, you know, I have to say it's exceptional and it was what drew me to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And thanks to all of our listeners today. I hope that you enjoyed this show as much as I did. And some people ask me why I've continued to do the podcast in, you know, for the last 4 years. And I just say it's the one thing that feeds me and my own business and journey probably more than anything else is being able to connect with really awesome entrepreneurs who are out there making it happen. So thank you again for being, Jesse, being on our show. And thanks to all of our listeners for showing up. And, you know, leave us a comment, leave us a critique the show or give us a, you know.
Yeah, tag us, please.
Yes, absolutely. Give us a review. That is the word I'm looking for. I totally had a brain.
Like, your
give
turn.
Us something.
Your turn.
I don't want you to just give us something. So if you can give us a review, that would be amazing. And subscribe, because that way you won't miss a single awesome episode. And that is great for both of us. So we appreciate all of you so much. And until the next time on Work From Your Happy Place. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.